podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Yannick Hanfman.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
This is Sebastian Ofner.
It's Mark Andrea Huesler.
I am Francisco Cerundolo.
And you're listening to the Game Kudla podcast.
Hopefully you enjoy it.
Novak Djokovic comes in, he steals the title, he wins the 23rd Grand Slam. He's the first guy in history to win 23 Grand Slams.
Alcaraz is going to win Roland Garros this year. He wants to be the greatest player. He wants to emulate some of the big goats of the game.
I think Iga's going to win Roland Garros and win it back to back. It doesn't happen often.
Iga Swiatek is going to be picking up her third and in the men's, Daniil Medvedev.
Rune winning Roland Garros. Ostapenko is going to get her second Roland Garros title.
Carlos Alcaraz is going to win the men's side. Iga Swiatek is going to win on the women's.
Daniil Medvedev and Jessica Pegula will bring home the trophy this year.
Novak Djokovic clinching his 23rd. And then on the women's side, we're in for Ostapenko.
On the women's side, been on fire, has won titles on every surface. Her name is Elena Rybakina. And on the men's, Carlos Alcaraz will win his first French Open.
Novak Djokovic is the 2023 Roland Garros champion.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. An absolutely stonking day of tennis, it has to be said. Day three is over, and we thought we'd just bring you a pre-recorded podcast. Obviously, it's quite late here in the UK, just gone midnight. We're going to put this one out for you. But what a day of tennis. I mean, I thought it was good for the first couple of days, but the way it kicked off today... Five setter, JG, and I don't even know where to start.
Well, I bet you're kicking yourself. You had to go to the office. You missed out on a really great day of tennis, but I know you've been having an eye on it in the office, and I don't even know where to begin. Like you said, so many of the men's matches went to five sets today. They have done really in this opening round, and I know we've got some tweets lined up, so we'll go through them. And on the women's side, I would say my assessment of the first round, because of course we've had all of the first round matches played now, is there's not really been many women who have blown me away with their performances. I don't think I've looked at anyone and thought, wow, you can really go on and win this event. I thought Rybakina was a little bit slow. I thought Iga was a little bit slow. Coco Gauff was a little bit as well. Sabalenka, I guess, probably the best performer. But her opponent, I think her mind was on too much of the politics and she wasn't really focused on the tennis. And it's really been difficult to grasp that one player on the women's who has started round one in an electric form. The only real name is Mira Andreeva. I thought she was outstanding, but you can't really look into too much of it. And of course, this is just me saying it after round one. It means nothing. Djokovic wasn't amazing in his round one. But it doesn't mean much because, as we know, as the event goes on, you want to play your best tennis in the second week of any slam. And I'm sure some of these ladies can do that. But yeah, that was just my initial assessment of everything.
I think that's fair. I think some of the youngsters who have come into this tournament, I think there was something you were alluding to prior to the tournament starting as well, that we might see it open up maybe on the women's side with some of these young players coming through, showing the older ones how it's done. I don't think Iga's really that old, but Iga's sometimes a slow starter. I mean, she bageled her in the second set, and then we're all back to normal again with Iga. So I don't think we can really focus too much on Iga's performance. I don't think the only person of note who went out who we thought made trouble Iga in the first week or the first part of her draw is Krejcikova out, a former champion, gone, and easy fashion as well. Wasn't even competitive. Not sure what's happening with her at the moment. She'll probably go on and win the doubles, knowing her. But like you said, the women's, I feel like the standout performers, I think Diane Parry, really good performance, knocked out Kalinina, and Emilia Andreeva. And they will face each other in round two. I think that is, for me, the popcorn match for women's round two.
I was impressed by Ons Jabeur, actually, just looking for the results, because her opponent, Bronzetti, has been in really good form prior to this. So that was a good result, considering Jabeur's low on confidence. But yeah, let's just see how it all plays out. Let's get through some of the tweets. And we're going to start with the men's. And Jose Morgado sums it up, really, in a tweet. What an unbelievable first round. The 64th and last men's single match is, guess what, going to five. And that, of course, was Monfils Baez. We're going to talk about that one in depth because that was the real popcorn standout match for me in the first round. And he says here, 20 matches out of the 64 went to five. It's an all-time record at the Open era. And he's here for it. And I'm here for it as well because we do love the long matches as a tennis fan. They're not great to commentate on. I don't like commentating on long matches. And people will be like, oh, you're a tennis fan. Why don't you like just sitting there commentating? Because usually, before I did this podcast, I would sit there and watch it in a bit of a trance. I'd have my phone on the other hand. I'd be scrolling. I'd maybe be eating or drinking. It's a different kind of experience than sitting there commentating on a long match. I don't particularly like doing it for that length of time. Of course, there's some circumstances where I don't mind, and I am very vocal anyway, which I would be with the tennis, especially when Rafael Nadal's playing. But sometimes it's just not the one.
I know what you mean.
We did do five sets today.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. That some of those matches, they can go on for hours. Obviously, the most notable one that we did cover, which was 5 hours 24, the Nadal Medvedev final. It seems.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong; they're different. Like they're the ones I don't mind commentating on to that length. But usually, don't get me wrong, I want a five set match.
Well,
I just don't want to be commentated on it.
Well, the main match that I did actually watch today, and I tried to as much as possible because I was saying it. I was even saying it this morning as well before a tennis ball was hit. I said, get the pronunciation right, because I've heard a lot of people saying his name today, and I've been guilty of saying his name wrong as well. I've even been listening to a few Portuguese. Yeah, it's Seboj Wild or something like that. So Seboj Wild. Yeah, so I've been couldn't say both Wild for too long, so I apologize to
I called him Wild Live today by mistake on the Eager Stream.
It's a patron of the
one
channel.
Of our patrons, yeah, just got a bit muddled up.
They heard Gil Gross calling
shout
him something.
Shout out to Wild Live if he's listening.
Yeah, shout out. I've heard Gil Gross calling him something, even he sounds even German or something, what he's saying, but at least he's making a better attempts to get the name right. But I saw it 10 to 1, him against Medvedev. I just thought, that's crazy. I
didn't put coming a bet in. On?
No, I wish I had.
Didn't do it in the bracket?
No, didn't. Right. Silly, really. Should have had a qualifier to watch, and I just, silly.
Let's get straight into it. So, Medvedev versus Saibov Wild. Sorry, Ben, I'm going to have to stick with that because it's in my mind and it's too late.
No.
So, next tweet.
Let's do it.
So, this is my favourite one, and it just shows Medi in his full troll mode. So here we go. Medi on the clay halts the possible resurgence of Zverev at Monte Carlo, inadvertently causes Tsitsipas's family drama in Rome, then actually goes on and wins a Masters 1000 on clay, then makes it possible for Alcaraz Djokovic to land in the same half at Roland Garros, and ruins that completely by playing so well on clay. Then, seeing that he's done his job of being a full troll, he then goes out in round one to ruin the whole draw and go full troll mode. So go down a little bit and then you can see the image of him. Great tweet. I did retweet it.
That's hairstyle.
Job done. Exactly what he wanted to do, right?
If that's what his ambition was just to come in. He hates clay that much that he wanted to ruin Roland Garros for everybody else. Then he's doing a great job of it. For me, he hasn't quite ruined it. He's just ruined his own chances. And there's some other people on his side of the draw that he's actually made it a lot better. Somebody who has a few carrots following him around this tournament is very, very happy right now. And JG probably very happy too.
That will.
Yeah, that's it. The player roulette player for you being Jannik Sinner. And well, that was his main foe on that side. Maybe Holger Luna as well, maybe Casper Ruud, but still, without Daniil in there, the Masters Rome champion, now it all looks a bit brighter, doesn't it? And Holger Luna dropping a set to Chris Eubanks today as well, not looking top-notch. Anything's possible. And Jannik Sinner, there's no better opportunity now. There's no excuses. Now is the opportunity. So
I don't like what you're doing. You're putting pressure on him, Ben. You're being a bit nasty, aren't you?
I think the Carrots are putting the pressure on him. They're everywhere. They're making...
We had him in our live chat. We had to ban them. They're out there all dressed as carrots.
Carotids. It was genius. But that match today, from what I was watching of it, I thought... Medvedev said it himself. He struggles to get power into his shots a lot on this surface. And the one thing that like Sabothvild was doing was, it was brilliant. I thought that he just looked like your perfect clay court player out there. He's a grinding player. He's got powerful shots. And he just played much better in the longer rallies, I felt. He was dominating Medvedev in a lot of these rallies. And it took a lot of grit and determination to get it over the line because he's not easy to finish off, Medvedev.
Well, Medvedev did speak about the balls, and he complained saying that with these balls, it's very difficult to strike the ball hard. And he said players like Alcaraz, Tsitsipas, they're going to benefit a lot from using these balls, but they're the worst possible ones for him because it's all about the wrist action. And someone who can generate a lot of power through the wrist will do well in this situation. And he feels like he's not one of them. Another tweet from him, or quote from him, which has been put into a tweet, is a little bit more comedic, a bit more Medvedev. And that is, every time the clay court season ends, I'm happy. I don't know if people like to have clay in their bags, in their shoes, the socks, white socks. You can throw them in the garbage after clay season. Maybe some people like it. I don't.
Well, who likes having just like stuff you have to throw away? I mean, when we spoke to Francisco Cilindro, he said that to you. He's like, oh no, just have to chuck them away. You can't reuse any of the clothes that you wear in clay court season. They're just gone, just stained. Unless they're a memento of a really great match, why else would you keep them? Just all these really horrible stained white socks.
Is that enough of a reason to hate the clay courts, Ben?
No, I like them. But the one thing that...
Is $70,000 not enough to buy a pair of socks?
You would think so. You'd think you'd have more than enough to be able to buy some more socks.
Forget that prize money just for this. What about the extra other millions in the bank?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the one thing which is obviously like a little bit surprising is the style of play that he loves to do, which is this like gritty, grindy, just loves a long rally. It just didn't really work like today in that match.
He was very close, let's be honest. He's not like he got smacked out of the park. It went to five, it was tight, only one breaker serve in it, and it was fine margins. And he come up against a player who's in inspired form on the clay courts, who I think can trouble a lot of other players in the draw who are also high seed. So I don't want to be too harsh on Medvedev's play today. I think he just come up against someone in good form and maybe he wasn't quite at it.
The warning signs were there in the final round of qualifying. Like he'd won, I think now he's won 26 out of his last 30 matches on clay. And to beat like Dominic Kopfer, double breadstick in the final round of qualifying, he was in great form as well. He'd won about 20 matches on clay this year as well. That, for me, was the warning sign for Medvedev. And I think he knew that it was going to be a really tough match, just proved to be. And we were talking about him when he won that his only ATP Tour title. We said that he's going to push on from this. He's probably going to be an incredible player. And he just dropped off massively, unfortunately, after that.
Well, he's got that domestic abuse case sort of lingering around him. And people asking him about that in the press room as well. I don't know much about it, so I'm not going to comment, but
same.
Never good when you're being known for more things outside the court, which are negative, than all the positive things he does on it.
Most definitely. Very, very sad that that's the thing that is coming up. But this is the world. You're in the media, so you've got to keep yourself squeaky clean, really. But let's move on from that and move on to the next one. And this one, interesting, it's sort of like a segue moving on to the other five set match, which finished the day. But this one's sort of like the in between. And
here we go, the magic of Monfils. We have to talk about this. Is a big, big segment of this podcast. What? How magical was it? And before the match started, you've got here Gael Monfils, Alex Zverev talking in the locker room about Sebastian Baez, because as we know, Zverev beat Baez last year in five sets at Roland Garros, in which he had to save a match point. And he was talking about how well he was playing, that forehand, how deadly it is, a little bit of tennis gossip, as the Tennis Letter calls it. And how ironic is it that a few hours after this, Monfils is out there playing Baez, and it also goes to five sets, and he also comes back from an improbable position to win in five.
I was so shocked by this result, and I was worried for him. I'm not gonna lie. I thought.
Well, I think you had Baez in your bracket, right?
Yeah.
I believe.
I didn't give Monfils a chance, and I feel really bad about it. Like, in fact, he was in France. I thought he wouldn't push that final push to be able to get stuff over the line. And he's proved me massively wrong. And I think he's proved a lot of people wrong as well. Like, the desire to come back from four love down in the final set when pretty much done and dusted that for most players. So fair play to him. I mean, there's some good tweets coming up as well. So I don't want to...
Yeah, exactly. Let's get through these tweets, because there's a lot to speak about with Monfils. And this is a quote from him saying, "At three love down in the fifth, I told myself, I haven't won a match since I'm a dad and my daughter is in Paris. I got to get one for her." So he used having a child now as an extra little push to get it over the line. We've seen Svitolina turn around her fortunes on the tennis court and play a little bit better. Now Monfils has done it as well. And that's his first win. I believe it was since August. I think I saw a tweet saying...
That's the next one, isn't it?
And I think it's just so remarkable. Look at this. Yeah. I think, does it say August there?
Yeah. That's at the bottom there, yeah.
Yeah. First tour level win since August. He was 4-love down and 4-5 down in the fifth. He then come back to win 7-5. Morgado described it as an absolutely unbelievable atmosphere, unforgettable. And it wasn't even packed. There was a lot of empty seats as well, but it just seemed to be a real football party-like atmosphere, everyone getting behind him, and he gave everything. Every single drop of energy he had, he gave it. You can see some of the images, if you just scroll down, of the emotion of him laying down. He was crying on the floor. The winner, he saw, it was a passing shot to clinch match point, just clipped the top of the net and landed over. It was actually quite a challenging shot. I thought he wasn't going to get it, sneak it past Baez. Just incredible to play at that level of tennis for how many hours was it?
About four hours. Yeah. Just under. Yep.
Just under 4 hours. It's just special. And Baez is no slouch on a clay court. I know he's had a bit of a dip in form. You could argue maybe he was better last year when he played Zverev. I think he would even admit to that. But still, he's turned the corner slightly the last month or so. He can still play good tennis. Difficult player. No one wants to play Baez on a clay court, especially in a best of five scenario, because he can push and he's got the endurance to do so. Monfils managed it. And it was a bit of a moment that reminded me like Andy Murray not too long ago against Kokkinakis. These two greats of the game. Monfils has been playing for so long. In fact, I've never, from when I started watching tennis, I'm not going to give away my age, but I've never watched tennis without him really in it. That's how it feels. I can't recall ever watching tennis without Monfils. It's the same with Federer.
Yeah, I've been turned pro in 2004. So it's absolutely crazy to think. But he's 36 years old now and still doing the damn thing.
It's 300, like Andy Murray.
Yeah, 394 in the world. And in on a, I believe it's protected ranking anyway, but
he
still
would have had a wild card.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just think the atmosphere. I know that we've spoken about like missing Rafa, but like I said, yes, was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was when we were covering Djokovic. I feel that the French are stepping up in the absence of Rafa on the Dow.
Yeah, but it's always like that though, Ben. Like when Rafa's there's always a good atmosphere for the French players. Look at all the ones with Monfils, Songa,
Yeah, yeah, always. Gaston, yeah.
Also it's always good. Hugo Humbert, I remember one year, was quite good. Gaston, of course, is a good name to mention. That's always been there. The only thing we're missing is Rafa on top of that. But at least we're still getting the solid, reliable French crowd supporting the French players. And in a way, I'm a bit jealous because we don't do the same for British players at Wimbledon. We do, but it's got a different feel. It's not so powerful, I don't think.
Like we have since Murray, to be honest. Like Murray was
the Murray ones were, I guess. But this just seems to have a different kind of atmosphere.
It's more, like the Italians as well.
It's not so tennis-y.
Yeah, but the Italians do the same for the likes of Fanini and the likes of Sinner. Like you see that they come out in their droves and they chant and they
do. There's no slam in Italy, but I feel like it would be the similar thing, wouldn't it?
In Rome. They're louder in Rome than they are at Wimbledon. That's the thing. They have chants. They do it. It's like you say, like football. It's almost like a football stand when you've got these type of players playing. But the British fans, this is, I wouldn't say for everybody, but the British fans who like tennis aren't probably football fans as well. That's your typical one. So that's why you don't get it. But in Italy, they probably just love all sports. Same as France. They're just big sports fanatics. So
that's a good point.
Anyway, but yeah, Monfils, can't congratulate him enough. And how crazy is it? Svitolina comes. We were at Svitolina's comeback tournament. And then Svitolina's now won a tournament before coming in. She's now played.
Yeah, they both turned the corner together.
It's incredible. What a lovely story. I mean, they've had their child and now they're both back on the tour and playing well. Brilliant. Well,
Who's he got in the next match?
Holger Rune.
Wow. Doesn't get much harder than that.
Careful what you wish for.
Well, let's see. You never know.
Never say never in these type of things. But
I think we've got another one, Ben. So if you go to the next one.
Is there? I think the next one was a Bianca one that I've got.
I thought there was one more Monfils, but not.
Oh, it was a Pavi G one, but I got rid of it.
Oh, okay. No worries. Let's move on to the next segment then.
All right. So the next one was, we were going to speak about Bianca Andreescu. Did you want to speak about any more of the five sets on the men's, or should we come back to them?
We can just mix it up. It's fine. All right, let's just speak about Bianca because she put this tweet out saying all heart. She's had a really tough couple of years. You could probably extend that really since the triumph at the US Open.
Yeah.
So many different injuries. The one recently where she was sort of wheeled off the court.
It was horrible.
Screaming in agony. Sort of, I forget what it was. Was it ankle?
Ankle.
It just seems to be endless with her. So it's nice to just see a little bit of fortune and her doing well on a clay court. Is it her surface? Probably not. Can she do well? Definitely can. Her heart seems to be a little bit more in tennis now. She did lose a bit of the love for the sport. Covey did an excellent job covering this match and it did live up to it. It went all the way to three sets. And well, Azarenka is a difficult player to play and Andreescu managed to beat her. And you never know, she might go on a little run now.
I hope so. I mean, she's never been past the second round, so she's equaled her best now. I'm hoping that she can get through the next match as well. The next match is against Navarro.
I saw that. That's what I was saying. It doesn't seem that bad. So she's actually got an opportunity. She's, let's be honest, not to be disrespectful to Navarro, but it's a lot easier than Azarenka. So, yeah, keep this going. Keep fit. That's the big thing because it doesn't matter who she plays. If physically she's not up to it, Navarro will beat her. So if she can keep fit, keep healthy, she can beat her and then you never know.
Exactly right. I thought big things of her from the back end of last year, and I thought that she was going to be in the top 10 at come the end of the year. I still think it's possible, but like you said, body has to stay together. And I just hope that she pushes herself to the limit, but just keep your body in check while you're doing it. That's all I'm going to say. But well done to her. She's the only I was going to say she's the only Canadian to shout about. Chapeau had his little thing that he did where he did a medical timeout at the end of the fourth and then won the fifth. Felix terribly went out, but he was ill and we'll forgive him a little bit for that. and Leila Fernandez still going strong. She'll be playing Clara Towson tomorrow. So that'll be an exciting matchup. We'll be covering that one. Right. So I just want to touch on some of these other matches. I've just got a list of some of the results. So let's just go down and just have a look who's going through. We've got Jarry going through really comfortably. This point,
well, Jarry's on a mad bit of form. I don't know if you can skip past him like that. He's the player who, as a low-ranked player, is the most feared. He's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible if you've got him in your little section. He's just won a tournament, hasn't he?
He's an unseeded beast.
It's one of my...
Reminds me of Casper Ruud that year he played when he was first breaking through as a bit of a worrying player. And Jarry's certainly like that. Dangerous, really good.
Well, good section as well. He's up against Tommy Paul next. That's a winnable match. And then Lehechka or Giron in the next round as well.
Oh, he can keep going. That's the thing. Just depends how his body holds out because he played a lot of tennis.
That's it. Nishioka. I mean, JJ Wolf, that was an upside down match. JJ Wolf losing from two sets up. Nishioka through. Tommy Paul through in straights against Stricker. Casper Ruud, he's getting the luck again, I feel. Daniil going out. He's on that side of the draw again. Casper Ruud, I said all he'd need was a decent draw, and he's a danger in this tournament. He could make the final. It's very possible.
Yeah, for sure. He's just doing what he does. But he could lose. I don't know. I'm not being convinced by Ruud. So if he doesn't have to play anyone too good, then why not? He can always beat sort of the players way below him. Vavasori over 5 hours. Ridiculous match.
I feel sorry.
Look at the score.
I mean, how sorry do you feel for Kecmanovic? He had match points in the third, and then you end up going to 3 tie breaks. And look how close they were.
Well, he was 2 sets up.
10-8 and 11-9 in 2 of the tie breaks. This just, you got a feel for the guy. He tried his best, but well played to the Italian.
He got a violation or something. He got some kind of, what's it called?
Like a code warning.
Code warning because a ball from one of the other courts come on the court.
Mm.
So what he did is he hit it back onto the other court, like out of the thing, and then he got in trouble for that.
Yeah, I don't think he should be doing that.
What do you mean you shouldn't be doing that? If a ball comes over,
it could hit anybody.
I'll grow up, Ben.
Well, it could hit someone in the crowd.
That's embarrassing that you think that.
What? That's why they probably say not to do it, to hit balls out the stadium. When they
if
just
the ball comes in, just hit it out and hit it back. It's fine.
Yeah, but have you ever seen when they go like, in anger, and they smack it out the stands? That's the reason, because there's people walking around.
It was
around
a very controlled hit out there.
Well, I didn't see it, so I can't
And it
really
landed
comment.
Back into the other one.
As long as it was a nice, soft one, it's all right.
Yeah,
if it, was
it wasn't
a hard
that bad,
one,
man. And everyone just got,
I thought you meant ridiculous. It was just like, he just went like, bang, and just whacked it, like they do in anger.
It wasn't an angry one. He was just trying to hit it back.
We had Gaston out, so his bad luck continues. He's not getting any money to pay off that fine.
Yeah, he's playing really bad at the moment. And yeah, he's straight out. Bublik out in a really crushing match. Zverev,
another Italian. Threw him 5.
Zepier. We spoke about Medvedev. Rusevori went 5, and he just about held on. Barrera was coming back into that one, and he also had the crowd. Peja come back and beat Quentin Helis in a really tight one.
One of the craziest stories. Another older player. He's not even that old, is he, Pella? But he's just been out.
He's had a lot of misfortune.
How old is he? No, he's 33, but he's another player I completely wrote off in the first round. And well done. Turned around all of his fortune. And
He is a good clay courter.
Yeah, brilliant.
Ryan Donet beat Gasquet, but disappointed about that. Skatov just did what...
Was it worth coming through qualifying? Well, he still got paid, so I guess
Talk about Hampfman, the lucky loser who just about got in. At 4-all in the fifth set, Montero had a smash on top of the net at 40 love up. Like, when I say on top of the net, it was an easy smash and smashed it into the net. He then had another one at Juice at 4-all to give away break point, and he missed another smash. There's a video circulating all over. He's missed 2 smash on top of the net.
Savage.
And that's ultimately why he lost. I thought if he makes either of them, it's a different match. And, well, it goes probably to a tie break, and then It's a close one.
I had that as a 50-50 match for sure, that match as well, because Montero, the bookies.
He's a fighter. He's a bit like a Rafa, but not as good.
The bookies gave like 1.36 there for Hamfer. I thought that was pretty generous. Especially Montero, 3.2. I thought that was good, decent odds. But
I thought Hanfman was always going to win, but...
Close match. But well done to Hanfman, one of ours, through again. That's what we like to see. We've got Surundalo through. We've got Hanfman through. We've got, who else? Karatsev through. We've got them all coming through. That's what we like to see. We've spoken about Mila Andreeva, incredible talent.
Love Andy Hanfman. Murray sent her a text, and that's why she thinks she's doing so well.
I love her confidence on the mic as well. She's just so confident, full of joy, full of just like youthful exuberance with talking to all of the panelists and stuff. A great personality. So fantastic.
Yeah, Kathy told me to watch a few videos of her on the mic. Yeah, and
definitely.
Yeah, I did watch it. She's great.
Yeah. So a good personality, it matches. And she's. Do you hear what she was saying about Sabalenka as well? She said, "Wow, she absolutely whooped my ass in was it Madrid?" Said, "Maybe I'm going to get my revenge on her." Yeah. I'm like, "Yes, that's what we want to hear. Some fighting talk. She's going to take it to Saba if she gets into play. That's what I want to hear." Well, you got this one right. I got it completely wrong. Ferro out, battered by Peterson. Yeah. Bauskova a seed out. Any others to really...
Jabir did well. Noskova, yep. Glad that she's keep going through. Saliba's Tormo is one who I like here, who, I knew she was going to win. I think she could make a little... She could go for a few rounds, for sure.
It's a weird match, that one. I had my eye on that one because I thought Burrell may cause the upset, but she didn't.
The only the reason she could is because she's French.
Yeah, but she's been in good form. That's the thing coming in. But then
not
she
Tormo,
it went like Harris. Up and down. She was up a break, then she was down a break, then she was up a break again. It was just one of those.
I think
matches.
Tormo did all right. I don't know if it was last Roland Garros or the one before. She likes it.
Yeah, she's very good. So stay her out. Paolini, that's good for me. Pick that one. And Rybakina through. I mean, wasn't convincing, but she just did enough. I saw the stats for that one. I saw that Rybakina, the winners to unforced errors, 33 winners, 26 unforced errors. Then it looked like Fravitova was just keeping it in play, like 11 winners, 22 unforced errors. So she obviously was just getting out here.
It's not terrible. I mean,
no, it's pretty
Igor
good.
Was worse. Despite the scoreline there, Igor, I thought, was a bit suspect in that first set. Probably the worst I've seen her play this year.
I'm still proud of Brenda that she put up a bit of a fight, at least in the first set against Rybakina. And Andreeva's sister out. Yep. That's unfortunate for her.
And I think it's come a little bit too soon for her. Yep. And Martic beating Rogers. So not many more to speak about.
Nope.
And that's our summary of all of the round one results. Let us know what your thoughts are in the comment section below. Me and Ben are going to be back, I guess it is today when this comes out, for more tennis action. We are into round two now. So the draw's been cut in half on the men's and the women's. We're going to be covering as many matches as we can. The big one tomorrow is going to be on Centre Court in the evening, under the lights, Novak Djokovic. We've got Tsitsipas starting in the morning. Offner, someone who you're going to see on all of our intros. Carlos Alcaraz in action. On the women's, Vondrousova, someone who's Ben's got going very far. Stearns is a very popular one in our live chat. She's got Ostapenko. Might be worth covering if we can find someone to do so. And then a real classic with two young guns, two players I like, Towson or Fernandez. That is a real bracket decider for me. Or if you like the Belarusians, we have Sabalenka, Szymanowicz.
Yeah, some really, really good matches on tomorrow. I'm looking forward. Alcaraz will also be gracing the courts as well tomorrow. But yeah, Blink and you might miss him. That's all I'd say.
he does look good.
Very good. Anyway, let's wrap this one up. Make sure you've hit the like button, subscribed if you're new, and join us for the matches. Come on.
See you tomorrow. Vamos, Carlos.
Social Podcast Network.